Please be seated. Hopefully I'm not too boomy. I have a loud voice. Is that too loud? The sound's all right? You can hear me? There we go. Might be a little bit. There we go. Well, it's great to be here. I always love the opportunity to proclaim God's word. And if you don't know who I am, and that's understandable, I've been here a few times, but I'm actually the chief executive officer of West Houston Assistance Ministries, which is very close to here. I'm obviously a priest, and I supply around the diocese, so I have opportunities to preach and preside all around this amazing place. But I always love coming here because you are a church that actively supports West Houston Assistance Ministries. We have board members who are here on our board that go to this church, and we have an active involvement. If you've never been to WAM, please do come and take a tour. I would love to show you around. We serve tens of thousands of people every year. It's a very active and involved, and you are a key support of that. And we see people who are in crisis, the homeless, those that are struggling. And boy, is that a real need after Harvey. It's been so many people that we've helped. So it's great to be here, not just as a priest, but as a priest who's involved in ministry in this very community. Well, I've been struck by our gospel reading this morning, John 12. And in 21, this guy Philip says, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And as I was preparing, it struck me. Do I see Jesus? And I don't mean the physical Jesus, that would freak me out. But do I see Jesus alive and active in my life? And then I thought, maybe this is a question for all of us. How is your relationship with Jesus? Do you see examples of him in your life? Do you feel your faith is at a point where you're recognizing where God is active in your life? And if you want to have more of Jesus in your life, to see Jesus, then this sermon is for you. I have some tools, some techniques that I want to offer you of ways that we can draw closer. And I've called this sermon, "How Figs Help Me Draw Closer to God." How figs help me draw closer to God. As in the fruit. Right. The first verse I want to look at is verse 25, and it reads, "Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." What does this mean? Is it saying if I hate myself, I'm a better Christian? If that's the case, lots of people would be really strong Christians. No. What it means is this. Last week, a friend of mine who I haven't seen for quite a while walked in and I barely recognized her. Now, I have learned over the years that you should be very careful asking someone this question. Have you lost weight? Something you learn the hard way. But it was so obvious that she had lost weight. I mean, really obvious. So I took a risk and I said, "Have you been working out?" And she said, "I have lost 69 pounds. Given she only weighed 76 when she started, this was a problem? No, no, no. But she lost a lot of weight. And of course, the next question I ask is, how? How did you lose so much weight? And she said, "It was my focus. It wasn't some flashy diet. I'm not here to peddle any particular program. It wasn't even a clever way she ate. She just said one day she realized she needed to be more intentional and think about the food she was eating and think about exercise. And when she thought about it, she realized, I'm not exercising. In fact," and I know this because I heard her say this to my wife is a very active. She does a lot of running and so on. She's very physically fit. And it was a post my wife put that inspired this lady. And my friend said, well, if Mark's wife, Christy, can do this, maybe I can. And she started exercising, just small, just a half hour, just walking. Now she's up to an hour and a half every day. Sounds like a lot. And she's very careful about what she eats, but she's not eating bread and water, okay? She says that. But her focus shifted, and as she did that, the weight fell off her. So when we look at this passage, it's the same thing. What God is saying in this verse 25, when it says those who love their life lose it, what it's talking about, life means the things that you focus on, the material things. It's not saying deny material things. It's saying don't make it your only focus. We have to have housing and work. We have to care for our families. We have to take an interest in our communities. But that's not all we're asked to do as Christians. We're also asked to focus on God, on the spiritual. So my friend who lost the weight, she absolutely ate. And she walked. She had a Fitbit before she lost all her weight. She thought she was being active. But it was when she stopped and said, what do I need to do? And really gave it her attention that things shifted. In the same way, this passage is saying not to hate yourself, but to put the material things in perspective, to focus on God and the spiritual. How often do you find yourself thinking, you know what, I really need to read the Bible today? How often are you praying? Make it a focus. The first point I make is F, focus. Focus more on God. The second is verse 26, and it reads, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. So the second point, and how do we grow closer to Christ and see more of Christ in our life so that it's not a distant something that you hear other people happens to? Man, what a good things happen, Christian things happen to them, that it becomes for you. Well, the first thing is readjust your focus. Get more into the Word, more prayer. Just be intentional. Make it the beginning of your day, regardless of how busy you are. The second is serve. Serve. Now, this is something that I'm pretty sure those that I know in the church today, I know you're all servants. I know you are. I know there are folks who have been here since very early this morning cooking. I know there are folks who are helping out with the rodeo, folks who help out at Wham and around the church on the vestry. You're all served. Is that what it's saying? Actually, no. Because it just doesn't say whoever serves, etc., etc. What it says is, listen to this, whoever serves me must follow. So what it's saying is, not only do we need to serve, but we need to serve with God's strength. As you could probably hear, my voice isn't the best. And as I was driving here this morning, wanting to serve you, I'm saying, Lord, I need your strength. And I mean this is a genuine prayer. I need your strength this morning. I don't have the voice I need. I sound like I've been singing in a smoky club all night. I have not. This is the end of a cold. But I need your strength. And this is the second point. Yes, we need to serve. But we need to do it under God. And that means we need to come humbly to Him and say, you know what? I don't feel like serving today. Or I don't know if I can serve. I don't know if I'm good enough. Or I don't know what I need to do to serve. Whatever it is, involve God in that decision. You see the theme here. What I'm trying to say is in every moment, somehow involve God. Whether it's prayer, reading His Word. But serve with God. So at WAM, I have an office, and I have a second office. And the second office is the chapel. It's a very small chapel. But I'm telling you, I go there a lot. I shut the door, and I pray. And I say, Lord, I really don't have any idea of how to solve this problem. We have a client has been beaten up, or someone caught in human trafficking, or I have a staff issue, one of my staff. And I call it my second office. I sit there and I come before God and I pray. Are you doing that? Is God part of your thinking? Or is it just a reminder like it was for me for so many years when you walked in church and the preacher started and you went, yeah, that's right. I forgot about you, God. Make it part of every day. How you relate to people, how you serve. The last point. So that is imitate. Imitate. Imitate as much as you can what God wants of you. The last point is verse 27. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. So the first point was, where is your focus? If you want to see Christ in your life. The second is, imitate. As you serve, invite God into your life so that the way you serve and the way you act is more in line with what God wants of you. It's not just your own strength. And the third is G, glorify. Glorify. So, I've been in America a year. I've been in America about 8 years. And when I came to America, one of the things that I discovered was colleges, team spirit, call it school spirit. We don't have that in Australia. No one cares about their college. You never hear, and I mean this seriously, when people gather socially, they never ask you what college you went to. That would be like asking, what elementary school did you go to? In other words, it's not important in Australia. When I came here, it was a whole different world. My wife is an Aggie. Her mum is an Aggie. Her sister is an Aggie. You getting the point? And her mum, on this particular occasion, many, many years ago, my first experience of A&M was a graduation ceremony. And there must have been 500,000 people in this stadium. It felt like that. And there was the Corps, the military Corps, and then there was the academics, and my mother-in-law was getting her PhD. And I thought it was extraordinary. I couldn't believe how excited people were about their college. And then the war hymn started. Have you heard of the Aggie war hymn? I had no idea. And this stranger, this lady I'd never met, put her arm around my shoulders. Her right leg went out, you know, across me. And then her hip started swaying me. And I'm looking at my wife going, honey, what is going on? Well, I learned since that a guy called Pinky Wilson wrote, and someone's going to correct me after the service, but I think that they wrote the war hymn in the First World War when they're in the trenches on the back of a letter. So it's got an enormous history. And the swaying is mimicking soaring off a horn. Anyone correct me? Is that right? Okay. I have no idea why they need to cut a horn off, but I'm sure there's important reason for that. So here we have this extraordinary culture. And why does A&M do that? It's not just A&M. Why does my wife still wear her ring? And when she was younger and a recent graduate, she was second year in college, when she would go to Austin, why would she hiss? I thought, maybe there's a puncture in the tire, they need to fix the tire, but apparently that for those who are not Aggies, that's some angry thing to some enemy people, I'm not sure, I think. But there's all these traditions, because what it does is it builds esprit de corps, it builds this identification to this college. And as you rise through your chosen profession, they want you to never forget you're an Aggie. Because why? Because one day you may have a lot of money. And your brilliant children could become students. But what we do is we sing the hymn. There's a clue. We're actually glorifying A&M. Glorifying that memory. It's incredibly powerful. How many of us at a barbecue ask the question, what college did you go to? Let's be honest. Many of you? What college did your children go to? How many of us at a barbecue ask the question, what church do you go to? Or, what has God done for you recently? It's by far, in my experience as a priest, the most understated, misunderstood part of the scriptures. And yet, it's actually the most important. Hear that. That we glorify God. Our lives are just that. To glorify God. When we put on our clothes and go to work, we should be thinking, how can I glorify you today? When we head out into our workshop, the tinker, when we parent our children, our grandchildren, when we write a Facebook post, if you're a Twitter person, if you're a twit, I think, no, Twitter person, how can I glorify God? So the first is focus. Where is your focus? Are you spending more time thinking about a material thing? Remember, I'm not saying binary, naught or one. You have to do that stuff. But is it it? And the second is, as you serve, is God at the heart of that? Are you calling on God's strength? And the third thing in growing our faith, is do not be ashamed and afraid to glorify God. And in fact, this is how my brain works. The next time you talk about college, remember this weird, croaky Australian. Oh yeah, I've got to talk about God too. Glorify God with our lives. There's a wonderful quote, I don't know who it is, but let me share it to finish. God's gift to us is our life. Our gift to God is what we do with that life. And that gift to God is glorifying. Each of you have a calling. Each of you have an extraordinary calling. And you do it not just for yourself, but to point to the majestic, wonderful, incredible Creator of the universe. Amen.